With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What's up? It's your boy, The Ben Smith. Thanks for listening to the Men's Room Daily Podcast. Want more? Check out the greatest podcast in all the land, The Podcast. Be sure to subscribe and listen to a brand new episode every Tuesday night.
The debauchery rolls on. You're listening to The Men's Room with Miles and Thrill. 99.9 KISW.
Your guess is as good as mine on the way. The categories today: snobby states, the 10 snobbiest states, and balls.
And balls, yeah.
Top 10 sports that involve a ball. Coming up with your guess is as good as mine. That's coming up after emails on our random question. Question 206-421-ROCK.
We got into a conversation about hairless cats, which led to conversations about other hairless animals. So a few comments came in. It says, my wife bought a hairless corgi, which is a little British dog, while I was working in Colorado. I came back to the ugliest thing, but she loves it. It has hair on its head and hair on its tail, but other than that, it's like rubbing a Brillo pad. And then people gave us suggestions for hairless animals to look up.
Okay.
We have the hairless chimp, which I pulled up there for you.
Ooh.
It really doesn't look much different, but man, when you see how muscular they are, they're swole.
Mm-hmm.
The hairless bear.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that one's scary.
Oh, wow.
Look at that.
Oh, my God.
I would not know what that
I
is
wouldn't either.
If I'm in the woods and that approached me. I mean, they could roar like a bear could do it. Look at that. It doesn't even look
remotely. Yeah, it does not look like a bear.
And then someone said, Google shaved raccoon, which I did. And there you go.
Looks like a cat.
Kind of does.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you for all of your suggestions.
Random question, 206-421-RAND.
Random.
Hello, Jerry.
Random,
welcome
random,
to the men's room.
Random.
Jerry.
Hola, bitches.
Hola. Jerry, welcome to the program. Random question. Let's see here, Jerry. Jerry, what would you say is your favorite or your least favorite chore that you do?
My favorite or least favorite chore?
Yeah.
Oh, undoubtedly the shower.
Is your favorite or your least? You consider taking a bath?
My least favorite.
Wait, do you mean showering or cleaning the shower?
Cleaning the shower.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Now you're right, man. I'm right there with you. That sucks.
What is your, how often do you clean your shower?
Do I have to answer that question?
Just lie. Just lie.
I spray it out with detergent every couple days.
Okay, you know what? That's not a bad call. I do the same exact thing. I've got a bottle of like semi-bleachy water. I just spray it around there, and it's done miracles. Like
It's done miracles.
I still have to clean it. But
you also have the caveat of, oh, hey, man, if you do this, make sure you're well-ventilated.
Oh, absolutely.
So
I do it when you leave, and like your last thing you do before you leave the bathroom is that, and then go someplace.
I hate it. I do.
What's your favorite
chore? I only do it when I'm in the shower.
Yeah.
So you're one of those clean as a
bathroom. Part of being in the shower, you just scrubber.
Okay. Let me ask you this. What is your favorite chore? One that you just don't mind as much.
I don't mind laundry.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Nobody minds doing laundry. It's the folding of the laundry.
Yeah, what about the folding part?
Yeah. The folding and the putting away takes a while.
Okay, well, see, nobody minds doing laundry because no one I know does laundry. Like, no one's banging rocks in the river. You put it in a machine, you press a button, it does everything. And then, when it's done, it goes like ding or buzz, and then I put it in another machine. And then when it's done with that, now it's officially my problem. And I realize I hate that part.
So, but I will say this.
My niece has a great washing machine dryer in one.
What do you mean? A stackable unit?
No, it's one unit. You put the clothes in there, and they come out dry.
Does it actually wash them?
Yeah,
is your daughter getting ripped off here?
Right. It's just like an air thing. You put it in a basket, it comes out clean.
Is this a new thing? I've never even heard of this.
Yeah, well, she lived in a tiny home in Texas for a while, and in order to get all the stuff in the tiny home, she got a washer-dryer combo.
Okay, all right. How many square feet was her tiny home?
It wasn't very tiny. It was 800 square feet.
Okay. That's
semi.
Right. That's okay. Not a tiny home. All right. That's a small home, but not tiny.
I like, I try to...
It's a small house on wheels.
Instead of folding stuff, like, if I wash my bedding, I just... leave the bed, you know, clean, and then just put those...
sheets back on?
Right back on. So I don't really have to fold them. But I think that's my favorite thing, is clean sheet night.
Sure.
Because when I'm done, it's not that hard. And I'm just like, this is great.
It's my favorite moment, not my favorite thing. But I'm big on hanging things up.
Well, that's easy enough.
Exactly. That is why I like to do it. People used to think that I had, like, some OCD problem, right? So they go to my place, like, you hang your T-shirts? It's like, yeah, because otherwise I have to fold them. And when it comes to folding clothes or hanging clothes, I will hang it, man.
Here's how there's certain, like, different T-shirts, like, I specifically hang dry and won't dry them because they'll shrink.
Yeah.
Yeah. Every year, I buy
two. But you have to make sure you remember that they're in there.
Yeah. This is my new latest thing. Every 6 months, I buy a 10-pack of footy socks.
All right.
Okay? They're all the same damn sock, right? I take all my other footy socks, but then I'm pretty well wore them out.
Sure.
So, you know, it's like, and I throw those away, and then I have the brand new 10 pairs. So that it's so easy to match. I don't have to look at them. They're all the same thing, the same brand.
I need to upgrade my footy game. I realize the warm weather's come back, so I'm like, Jesus. But I don't know why it took me so long to figure out that game, especially in the footies, right? I mean, I was like well into my 40s before it occurred to me, hey, maybe if you just buy these big-ass, but it doesn't matter if they quote-unquote go together. They all go together.
When I was buying all these fancy running socks and all these different things, like I'd have like, you know, 15 different kinds of socks. And it was like the game where you flip the card over and you're trying to remember where the
tread on the bottom end.
Exactly. So it's just like, the hell with that, man. I'm streamlining my laundry.
Yeah, like I have a drawer that's just for black ankle socks. Now, they're different brands or whatever. But
you have a drawer just for black ankle socks?
I'd like, it, like dress socks?
Ankle socks.
Oh, ankle, like those. Yeah, that's basically what I got, right.
So I'm saying, so I have a drawer just for that, then a drawer for white ones that also have some longer socks in there.
So what is your drawer game? For me, all of the ankle socks and all of the long socks, it's just a sock drawer. They're all in there. And for the most part, I can pull it open. You can kind of identify, because longer socks have dumb stuff on them, right? Then I have the underwear drawer. And it's just on, like, man, I got a lot of underwear. And I feel weird, because by the time I do laundry again, like, I haven't even gotten to those last, like, eight pair of underwear. I almost need just one.
I have a drawer-free lifestyle now.
And then I have one for T-shirts only because I have to share a closet, and, you know, there's not as much.
I'm using, like, an armoire. So, like, one drawer is just dark ankle socks, one's white, top drawer is underwear, and then the armoire has folded shirts.
You know, man, I think you could learn a lot about something. Like, I want to break into people's houses. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to steal anything. And, yeah, I'm invading your privacy. I just want to see your drawer setup. What you're willing to put together, what you want to separate. Because to me, your drawer is kind of like your Thanksgiving plate. Like, everyone has roughly the same thing on their plate, roughly the same thing in their drawers. But certain things just can't go together for certain people.
I don't have the biggest bedroom in the world. So I'm now on the bedroom furniture-free lifestyle. So I went to basically the California closet type people.
Yeah.
So they went and organized my closet for me, and you open it up, it's just like, oh, it's so easy. Everything just goes in one certain place. You can see all your crap. I got my Goodwill pile going on. Drawerless lifestyle.
I did the same thing. I took Miles' advice. He said, dude, look. Because my first thing, is it worth it? He's like, oh, my God. He's not kidding. I mean, it's like the best experience I've made.
It really is. Reason we ask your favorite or your least favorite chore, there have definitely been some points this year, they say, when we're looking for anything to break up the week and make one day maybe feel different than the other. According to a new survey, 32% of people say that during the pandemic, doing laundry has been one of the highlights of their week.
That's terrible.
Here's the full top 10 list. Baking. People like baking. 28% they picked up baking and they enjoy it. Making breakfast. The idea of being at home and being able to actually, instead of just grabbing a quick bowl of cereal or whatever, just making breakfast. Doing the laundry came in at 32%. The time to be able to read, 32%. For some reason, 35% of people said filling up their gas tank was a small joy.
You know why?
Because their gas isn't $3.50 a gallon?
No. Because they are out of their house.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Like, legitimately, they had a reason to leave their home.
Watching a movie, watching a favorite TV show.
Well, sure.
People are really enjoying going grocery shopping these days. Almost 50% of people say they look forward to going grocery shopping.
I mean, I'm a psycho, but I love going to the grocery store.
It feels good when you get home to know you have food.
I just like going and looking at food.
Oh, so, but I think it's who you're shopping for, right? I mean, I don't enjoy the grocery store on a good day, but after having kids, it's just a much different experience than it was before I had kids. Before you had kids, going grocery shopping to me was like looking at a menu at a restaurant. Maybe I want this, maybe I want that. The hell with it, let's just get both. Now, I mean, there is a very specific this, that, the other, because kids just don't deviate. Like, this is, there's no joy in this, man.
And believe it or not, 50% of people said exercise. That's what they're into. They're looking forward to exercise.
And for a lot of people, they'll just be happy. Like, you forget, like, gyms were closed.
Yeah.
For a lot of people, just going back to a gym or...
I'm on my gym's website right now, because I was during the break, trying to figure out if I can go in there and work out, and there's nothing on the damn website that'll let me know. That's exactly what I was doing.
By the way, Ted, a couple comments here. Obviously, Ted segregates his White Sox from the Black Sox, you know?
Oh, come on.
And then someone else, kind of on the same tone, they go, well, I buy tons of white ankle socks because it's my only whites load. Only whites, not whites only.
What's the correct way to say that?
Only whites.
Hello, Matt. Welcome to the men's room.
Afternoon, boys.
Hola. Hola. Matt, welcome to the program.
You guys on the OnlyFans? No. I'm over at Only Whites.
Only
Whites. It's about socks.
Right. Matt, welcome to the program. The random question. Let's see here. Okay. Since we're talking about feeling good about ourselves, when you dress to impress, what is your go-to outfit?
Oh, geez. it's far and few between. Nice pair of jeans or, good pair of, I guess my dad would call it slacks, pants.
Slacks.
Does it depend on the,
shoes?
But I mean, there's one thing to go on a date. It's another thing to meet your date's parents. And while I would dress similar, I might be, you know what I mean? So
yeah.
I might rock the same jeans because they're good enough, but I might dial up the shirt.
Are you married?
Yes.
You are married.
Yes.
So let me ask you a question.
My wife's really good looking. She's got a good figure, so I have to. I outkick my coverage when I married her. Let's put it that way.
Let me ask you this. So your everyday jean. Let's just say your everyday jean. You're hanging out with a guy jean, $50 jean. I'm assuming that your nice jeans are like $100-some jeans that your wife picked out for you.
No, she doesn't. I'm not a schlub. I have good taste. I know how to dress.
But
she'll go with me sometimes, but usually I don't like going with her because she'll pick out something that's not really what I like. And then when I pick what I like, she's like, I like that. So it's a win-win.
Okay. But see, 100% of the time you go shopping with a spouse, what they pick for you is not going to be what you want to wear.
What's your most expensive pair of jeans cost?
Exactly.
Matt, what's your most expensive pair of jeans?
$120, $130.
All right, that's probably average.
$120 or $130.
And what brand do you buy?
Yeah. I go to Men's Warehouse because I used to race bicycles and I play hockey, and they have the stretchy jeans. I've got big thighs, and so they got the stretchy jeans that I don't feel like I'm losing circulation in my crotch.
Is that what your wife found attractive in you? You have some really nice, thick, meaty thighs.
Oh God, no! I made her laugh. I'm not the best looking guy. I made her laugh.
Now
you must be real funny. Yeah. The way you're describing yourself, you must be the funniest person on earth.
To some degree, it sounds like more people have brought this up to you that you care to share about. Like, did all your friends go, dude? How did you pull this off? Do people look at you funny in the restaurant? You know what I mean? Like, how did you get this? Like,
no. No, I guess you could say I'm a little self-deprecating. I'm not ugly by any stretch of the imagination, but she would be a better-looking guy than I would be a better-looking girl, let's put it that way.
Okay, all right, fair enough.
I've broken my nose several times. I've got scars on the face from hockey, I clean up well, let's put it that way.
Okay, all right, very good.
There you go.
Reason we ask, when you dress to impress, what's your go-to outfit? 2020, they say, a rough year for gym goers. A lot of them were closed. And 2021 isn't shaping up to be much better in that regard. Luckily, they say, you can now get that hot body you've always dreamed about without moving a muscle. thanks to these realistic muscular bodysuits. These silicone bodysuits are made by a Chinese company.
Have you seen the pictures?
I have.
It's unbelievable.
You can now look incredibly ripped without even getting off the couch, complete with realistic-looking muscles, bulging veins, and an anatomically correct positioning. The muscular bodysuits create the illusion of a perfectly toned upper body, especially when worn under a tight shirt. Some even come with fake body hair.
Oh.
Apparently, these ultra-realistic bodysuits have become increasingly popular on the Chinese e-commerce platforms. So people are picking up those.
But the problem is, man, I mean, it depends who you want to impress. But again, if you're going to take a chick home, she's going to be bitterly disappointed. Like the old Jason Momoa commercial.
Mm-hmm. Audu survey also
that's
has...
That's the other thing. Like, if somebody has, like, fake breasts, like, they're physically, they're on their body.
Yeah, I shouldn't say, let me take these out before we do anything.
Mm-hmm. Right. That guy gets home, he takes off that costume. Like, what do you think the reaction's going to be?
But I think I might wear, depending on certain situations. Hey, man, we're going somewhere. It's going to be a little tense. All right, hold on. Let me put on my bodysuit. So at least when I'm there, maybe I'm the last guy anyone's going to mess with. Because if I'm the first guy, I get my ass kicked. I'd be like, I just beat up the biggest guy I've ever seen in my life. But with that, I mean, it looks awesome until you have to take it off.
That's random, fine. Random.
Just
random,
seems weird to random, me, man.
Random, I like this person random, there. It says, dressed to impress. Random, a shirt with random, sleeves random, on it.
That's a tough... it really depends random, on who you're trying to impress.
Really
you're right, because it's much different from, like, a date
mm-hmm.
as opposed to, like, an office. You know what I mean? Maybe it's, like, a work thing.
Right.
Or you're right. Like, maybe it's just, like, a wedding.
Yeah.
Or, like, a gathering where you got to wear a suit.
Because I feel like when they say when you dress to impress, you're thinking about, like, going on a date or picking somebody up. And it's like, you're going to meet someone's parents. Like, oh, change the outfit.
Yeah.
A little different now. Hello, David. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
David, welcome to the program. Random question, question. All right, here, David, let's go. David, what was the, would you say, the most expensive, unexpected expense that you've ever had? Something that just came out of nowhere. You're like, oh, my God. Oh, what?
Mm-hmm.
Actually, recently was, I have a lot of pets. One of them was a lizard that cost me about $800 to get basically antibiotics for.
What, just the antibiotics.
What was his lizard ailment?
It had a abscess growing on its neck.
Okay, that's fair.
I was going to ask how you knew something was wrong with the lizard.
He probably told me.
Oh, yeah.
Because I could not look into the aquarium and go like, he's not looking okay today, Freddie. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know that I would know if he was struggling.
How many pets do you have?
I have four dogs, two cats, that lizard, a gecko, two tortoises.
Which of those pets do you hate the most?
Ooh. One of the dogs, I would say.
Okay. Right. And why is that?
Just she's full of anxiety, always whining, always yelping at something.
What kind of dog is it?
It's a mutt. It's a Rottweiler Terrier mix thing.
Okay. Has your tortoise ever gotten, has it ever gotten out? Either one of the two tortoises?
No. They're relatively secure.
And how many pounds do they weigh? Those get big.
They're still pretty small. They're only about 3 years old, so probably like about 4 pounds each.
Okay. Now, how long do these things live? Like, is this like getting a parrot where if you get this turtle, like, this is your pet for as long as you will be alive?
Oh, yeah. My wife and I have already discussed that. We're going to have to put these things in our will.
You will?
No, wait. So, now listen, if you're my parents and you go, hey, the tortoises, they're in the will. Like, I'd have to tell you, man, I don't want it. I don't want to have to take care of this. So who in your family do you think would be most responsive to inheriting your tortoise?
Oh, as of right now, I haven't found anyone. Right. So we'll see.
Okay.
You know what? And I don't know how this works. I do not know this works. But say you have no family at all, okay? And you leave a will. If you decide to leave a tortoise, I don't know, to Mike Hawk, like, are they going to deliver this thing to him? You know what I mean? Like,
I think it already has to be agreed upon at that point in time. It's like the executor of your will. Like, you can't just leave something not knowing if someone's going to really actually take care of it.
But I wish you
could. It's kind of like being a godparent. Like, you never think you're going to be in that situation, right?
Well, otherwise you turn it down.
Exactly.
I mean, if someone said, hey,
you just do that because you think it's a nice thing to do and it's an honorable thing.
If someone said, I'm not doing this because I'm not trying to make you feel bad. I'm doing this because in the event that something bad happens to me, I want you.
To raise my children.
To raise my child.
Yeah, I'm godfather to two children.
So if somebody, if they laid it out.
That was an honor.
And they told you, hey, man, and I'm really sick. The doctor gives me a year. Ted, I want you to be the godparent. Would you have turned them down?
Yeah, probably, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it was pretty well understood. Like, no.
This is an honorary
thing. This is an honorary thing. Like, right, you're not taking the kid.
Oh, like, get the honorary degree from a college,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
Two stories real quick on that question, by the way. What's the most expensive, unexpected expense you've ever had? Summer fishing trip cost one Tennessee man thousands of dollars in medical bills. John Brown says his ordeal started when a copperhead snake was hiding under a boat cover and bit his ankle on a lake. Fearing for his life, Brown called 911. He initially resisted air medevac and instead wanted to be transported by ambulance. However, they say the air medevac's EMTs insisted he received an antivenom right away. They told me that I could lose my leg or possibly lose my life. So he reluctantly signed the documents to be rushed via helicopter, only to be told by physicians that the snake bite was then non-life threatening. They didn't check my vitals. They didn't give me any IVs. They didn't do anything during the flight. Emergency room doctor said the shot was more deadly than the snake bite. So they waited 4 hours before they started giving me any antivenom. 4 hours that Brown believes could have been spent driving into the hospital, potentially saving him big bucks. He explained how that less than 20-minute helicopter ride landed him with a $42,806 bill for the 20-minute flight. Insurance covered $6,000, by the way. And since our caller was talking about tortoises.
Yeah.
One Kansas family is asking their neighbors to keep an eye out for a giant tan brown hump. After their 10-year-old pet tortoise, Matt Mardigan, escaped from their Wichita backyard sometime between Monday morning and Monday afternoon.
Escaped.
What's his name?
Matt Mardigan? Is that some type of reference to...
I have no idea.
Dungeons and Dragons, maybe? We're originally from Phoenix, Arizona. In the winter times, we do get frost, but typically the tortoise is in a burrow and is actually warm and inside. But either way, she probably can handle a little cold weather, but they're worried if it gets too cold at night. It's going to be a little bit worrisome. If she's on the road, please pick her up on the side. For the most part, she is very skittish and a shy animal. Odds are she's not going to be very aggressive. Matt Mardigan, by the way, weighs 70 pounds.
Jeez.
And measures 18 inches, beak to tail. This tortoise, after a week, is still on the lam. More of the Random Question coming up, 206-421-ROCK.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
99.9 KISW.
Yay!
You're in the men's room.
Your guess is as good as mine. Cut up categories today. The most snobby states in the good old US of A. And balls. The 10 most popular sports that use balls. That's coming up after a random question. By the way, if you're on hold, we just had a little glimpse there and we lost everyone. So please call back 206-421-ROCK. But in the meantime, a few comments and corrections.
We were talking about you had a news story. I guess the couple lives in Phoenix. They lost their tortoise. It's a 70-pound tortoise. It's been gone for a few days. The name is Mad Mardigan.
Mad Mardigan, yeah.
And you weren't quite sure where that came from. Says that's from Willow. Val Kilmer. Willow, Val Kilmer character. It's Val Kilmer's character from Willow. Mad Mardigan is off the movie Willow. Mad Mardigan is from Willow the movie. Mad Mardigan was from the movie Willow. Val Kilmer played him. Mad Mardigan is Val Kilmer's character from the movie Willow. Mardigan was Val Kilmer's character.
Did you
in Willow
see Willow?
I did, and I could not have told you.
How old is that movie?
I don't know.
Did you see Willow?
I mean, I think, first of all, can we put a little respect on Warwick Davis's name?
He didn't play Mad Mardigan.
I'm just saying.
What was his name? Who was he? Ted, I'm going to give you a hint.
Did you see the movie?
Okay, I'm not positive I've seen Willow, but I love Warwick Davis. And he had a TV show that was like following him around.
Mm-hmm.
And every time he'd get real pissy at people, so they didn't know who he was. He's like, you never seen Willow?
That's his movie.
I don't think I've seen Willow. Okay.
You never saw Willow?
No, I guess I never saw Willow.
All right, came out in 1988.
Basically, George Lucas did Star Wars. He had a lot of success. So Willow was kind of his fantasy version of the same thing. So Val Kilmer's character essentially was Han Solo. Who's your boy? Warwick Davis?
Warwick Davis.
Yeah, he was like the Luke Skywalker. They had some baby. I really don't remember the whole movie.
Never a sequel. It's not even good enough for a sequel.
There might be a Willow 2 out there. And you got to keep in mind, Warwick Davis is is a short person.
Yeah.
Okay. A little person. Oh, sorry.
A short person. Yes, a little. What do you call it?
He's shorter.
Short? Short.
Yeah.
Everyone apparently knew that, and someone else, oh my God, the tortoise is named after Val Kilmer's character.
What an honor.
I had no idea.
What an honor.
Did you ever see it? You never saw it.
No.
Do yourself a favor.
Watch Willow?
No, say don't.
All right.
Do yourself a favor and do not watch Willow.
I already did myself a favor.
Yes.
By not watching.
Hello, Nick. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Nick, welcome to the program. And a random question. Thank you for calling back. Let's see here. Who would you say? Let's see here. Okay, how about this one? In your lifetime of people, who did you not feel sorry for? Who did you not feel sorry for? Based on maybe something that happened to them, situation, circumstance. Maybe someone got punched in the face that deserved it. Who did you not feel sorry for?
I'm a commercial fisherman up in Alaska, and last season up during salmon season, this guy decided to get real personal with me, and every, you know, kind of took a personal problem with me. He was calling me names that I can't say on the radio every day. And
why? What was his reason? Why did he hate you so much?
This is going to sound crazy, but, you know, he felt that I had filled up the freezer too much with my fish, and there wasn't enough room for his. So he felt that this was a big enough issue to pour rolling tobacco in my hair, to demand money from me, you know, calling me all sorts of names. And so it got to the point where I had to tell my boss, look, this guy is kind of going off the rails, so I don't know what to do. And he said, I told him, you know, everything that had happened. He said, you know what, if you need to hit this guy, just hit him. So it got to the point where I rolled out of bed at 6:30 in the morning, and sure enough, just started screaming at me, all, you know, about everything. So I swung at him, knocked him in his mouth, and then walked out the door to work. And he thought that, you know, I was going to get fired for knocking him in the mouth, but the boss had given me permission, so.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's a different kind of working environment.
It is.
Have you tried punching him in the face? You know what I mean? Like,
we don't get that in HR.
No. Have you just tried bitch slapping someone? You know what I mean? Like, I mean, no.
Kick him.
Right, exactly.
Kick him.
Backhand him. You know?
Kick him.
Did it work?
And I, you know, I went on with it for a week, so I really gave this kid a chance to, like, kind of back off, and he didn't. So, you know, it just had to happen.
All right. And did he stop after that?
Yeah, well, when he realized that the boss wasn't on his side and the boss chewed him out instead of me, he quit like a week later.
I was going to say, explain to me the dynamics of this. Is this a personal freezer for you, or is this like a general location where you guys put all the fish?
It's a general location where we put all the fish. So, yeah, it was like I needed to move it to a different freezer. You know, I had maybe been a little lazy on it, but I wasn't arguing with him about it.
Right.
I just said, yeah, I'll move it. And, hadn't done it fast enough, I guess.
Okay. All right. Well, I guess he got what he deserved. It.
I like your boss, though.
I do, too. That's a crazy call.
Guys, listen. I don't want to hear the problem about the carving machine. Just fight, and whoever wins.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You didn't think about punching him in the face?
No, that didn't cross my mind.
Can you imagine?
I mean, I wanted to.
Yeah. Also,
I think
there's going to be people's offices that you really wouldn't go to a lot and be like, we're going to have to take care of this.
Yeah.
I will say that as I run through the scope, back when we used to have coworkers and stuff, I can think of one person in particular who would probably get punched more than anyone else. Right? Because you start thinking to yourself, okay, how popular or unpopular am I?
Right.
Right?
Well, like I told our boss.
So it's just like, look, I've had conversations.
Back to the movie.
I've had conversations with them before, and it's a big email. You know, like every company got an email. And I'm like, I'm not going to email. I walked into his office and just basically, no.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all good. But if the boss said, look, just figure it out between the two of you. You can hit each other if you want. I would go in there on purpose.
I told our boss in Baltimore, I was like, man, you're killing me. I want to kill you right now. And he's like, did you just threaten to kill me? I'm like, no, I can't, but I want to. But I know legally I'm not allowed to, so I can't.
This conversation went on forever, though.
You just threatened to kill me. I was like, no, I said, if I could, I would love to, and I would really like that.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously I can't do that because that's not cool. So, yeah, I'm not doing it, but I want to.
See, they were real CBS radio, man, and they took everything by the book. So he wanted to run this up the chain to corporate. But Miles was just like, no, I never said I'm going to kill you. I said, I want
real,
to kill
real,
you.
real bad, Josh.
But I'm not going to.
I mean, I can
Therefore, it's not a threat.
I have no idea how much I want to.
I'm not going to do this to you, but I want you dead, and I want to be the person to kill
you. I want you to know what my feelings are. But I'm not going to act on those feelings, you see. You know what I'm saying? Just so you know, this is how I feel. But I'm logical enough to know that that's not realistic.
But I want to.
But I do really want to.
I've worked a lot of places, even bars. So like, God, I'm thinking about it right now. I go back and punch him right now.
Yeah.
If the boss is like, cool.
I mean, plenty of people, right?
If you got the nod from the boss, you punch him.
Like the beef with Chip. Chip's always late, you know? And it's like, you can report to the boss. For the most part, you kept it under wraps. And the boss calls you in like, well, Chip says he's getting here late. Like, look, he's always my relief. It sucks for me. Hey, boss, can we do the punch thing? I can take care of it. If you let me beat his ass, he'll show up on time. Because your memos, they're not working.
Reason we ask, who did you not feel sorry for? A suspected poacher was killed by a herd of breeding elephants that he encountered while running from park rangers, according to South African officials. There were three poachers.
All right?
The ranger spotted them. So they say, all right, we're going to go after these guys. So the three guys take off, all right? But they just happened to go into this herd of breeding elephants. So that was not good. After one of the suspects was captured, he told park rangers the group had run into the herd, adding that he wasn't sure if his alleged accomplice had managed to escape.
You know why? Because when they saw breeding elephants, they all ran the hell out of there.
Rangers later discovered the man badly trampled and dead from his injuries. Investigators say they're still searching for the third suspect, who continued to flee after he suffered an injury to the eye. The men are suspected of attempting to not only poach elephants, but rhinos, according to the officials. A rifle and axe were recovered amid the investigation.
Yeah, they were there for the rhinos. Mm-hmm. Right? That's why they were out poaching. And then they get caught, take off from the rhinos, and don't realize horny elephants and people,
random, not a good mix.
It's like any mammal, really. If they're having sex and you interrupt it, they take issue with this. Hello, Jess. Welcome to the men's room.
Hello.
Hola.
Jess, welcome to the program. Random question. All right, Jess, let's go with this one. What would you say went wrong during the date? Let's go back to the dating years. Anything strange ever happened to you when you're out with someone else?
Well, I can think of something that happened to my best friend, but that doesn't count. So,
if she's got a better story than you, so what?
Okay, so this was years ago. We were like, I want to say maybe seniors in high school age, and we were both dating a couple of guys that happened to be best friends. Her and I are still to this day best friends, and we all decided to go hang out. It was, you know, over the weekend, and we got someone to buy us some beer, that kind of thing. And her boyfriend, or the guy she was seeing at the time, they just kind of disappeared off into the woods. So obviously, you know, we both knew what was going on, and well, it was getting to be kind of late, and we had to get back and everything. And this is before either of us had cars, so we were taking the bus. And I'm like, the last bus is going to come. Hurry up. And I'm screaming out for her everywhere. And she comes running out of these woods near where we were hanging out. And she looked like she had seen a ghost. And we go racing over. Finally, we get to the last bus before I left. And I'm like, what's that all about? She was like, I don't want to talk about it. And so apparently she just did some oral things And apparently the beer came back up all over.
Oh.
All right. I bet he didn't care.
It's all right.
Yeah.
I mean, just like, hey, man, fight through it.
Yeah. Sorry. I mean, I'm puking
around.
Well,
he had to walk home, though. I mean, with all of this on his pants and everywhere else.
Yeah, well,
that's a great explanation.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let me get this straight. You throw up on my pants, and that could happen.
Yeah, blame the beer.
I'm going to say, might just wash those pants. Don't know where I'm at right now, but.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway.
Yeah, right. We can fight through it. All right. We let it go.
Reason we asked what went wrong during the date, a woman says she endured the worst date ever after she jumped into a river to save her Tinder match's dog while he just stood there on the shore watching on.
Ooh, that's not good for him.
Well, maybe Johnson, he didn't like the dog.
Yeah. Lizzie Johnson met the man with a, quote, cute boxer dog on the app and suggested going for a socially distant stroll along a river. Not long after being into the walk, her date mentioned that the dog had never seen water before, just as it excitedly jumped off the bank and into the river. Lizzie claimed that while the man was, quote, too busy flapping, she darted down the bank and into the chest-deep water to rescue it, saying she was left struggling to climb back out while the man just made useless suggestions, like, go over there, maybe you can get up on that side. After 5 minutes in the water, the mom of two eventually made it out, having rescued the dog, and all three began the awkward 10-minute walk back to the car, where they quickly said their goodbyes. When she got back home and into the warm, she recorded a hilarious video showing her jeans, top, and face covered in mud to recap her date, which ended with a swim in the River Mole. After the footage went viral, she said it was probably the worst date ever, maybe because I wasn't feeling him as well. It just was not a great date. So, there you go.
That's a bad look for him, man.
Random, yeah, she's got to jump in and save your dog.
But then you wonder how long...
No, their phone.
I don't know.
All right, Mike, I got a random question for you, then. This is custom tailored to you.
All right.
Mike, what word would you say you use the most in place of bad words or swear words?
Bad words.
Yes.
Doggone it usually is in there.
I thought it was dag nubbit.
Dag gummit, yeah.
Yeah, dag gummit. Get it right, Miles.
Shoot.
Other than Yosemite Sam, you're the only other person I know that routinely uses these words in place of it.
Right.
That dadgum, I'm like, mm-hmm. You and Yosemite Sam, that's it.
Yeah. Don't want to say the other thing.
Well, the reason we asked, the long linguistic journey to Dag Nabbit was an essay that was just published. And basically, the English language is broken down to explain why some of these words have been put in place. And basically, it breaks down into two parts. So the one part is that there are a certain group of people who change these words as to not offend anyone around them. So if obviously people are offended by the F word or other words that are out there.
That's why my daughter says frick.
Right. So there's all these other Frickin. Words that we use so that we do not offend others around
grandparents,
us.
Whatever.
Correct.
Right.
You know, anybody, your peers. Then there is another force at play here, and that is the force of religion.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. And there's a fear behind that.
If yeah, you're using the Lord's name.
The Lord's in vain. Name in vain and everything else, and that inherent fear makes you feel better if you don't, let's just say, if you are, not that it's superstitious, but it kind of falls on that line of thinking.
Yeah.
Then maybe if you continue to do that, the bad things will happen to you. So, you know, like, you know, you'd not, you don't even want to bring up hell.
Sure.
You would even just say heck. You know what I mean?
Or like, H-E double hockey sticks.
All those different things.
Sunshine's home.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, no. Dag Nabbit is an example of the perceived power of words that would hurt us internally if we used them.
All right.
Not that we would offend other people.
Is it from like damn it?
It's the G word and then damn it. So you're taking the Lord's name in vain. Taboo deformation is what that is called, and it was studied by the linguistic group at the University of Kentucky, and they had all different types of words, and they break them down from the standpoint of like, look, you can't just change the way a word kind of sounds if it sounds very similar to that.
Right, but sounds too close, not good enough.
It's not going to work. So, shut the front door.
So close, but good enough.
But, right? but not close enough.
All right.
To make it something that's bad. So, in other words, to avoid saying Jesus Christ, we ended up with
Jiminy Christmas.
Cheese and rice.
Cheese
and rice.
And rice.
See, Jiminy Christmas, you're saying, that's your way of saying, look, you know what I mean, but I'm not even trying to make it sound similar. Mm-hmm. Cheese and rice, you're kind of like, did you just say cheese and rice?
Yeah.
No, like, I did. I didn't say the other thing.
And metathesis is using the dag or the dog as a reverse mirror form of God. Right. So the dag is God just backwards.
So a lot of people say dog, wrong. Dag, whatever just, the thing is. Right. Nabbit is a switch for damn it. We use both dissimulation in those. So basically, that's how these words came up. It's pretty interesting. I like use a lot of those.
Gold darn it. Somebody uses that. Someone else says, a buddy of mine says macaroni in place of mother effer. Yeah, she's a mother trucker. Someone says
mother trucker.
Doggone. Yeah, people do say doggone a lot.
My grandpa used to say, God bless it.
God bless. I've heard that one a million times.
God bless America.
Yes.
God bless America. Yeah. Or you apparently name every other biblical figure.
That's what my grandma
did. James, Joseph, no, Mary,
Jesus,
Gabriel.
Joseph, mother.
I will name every.
This was always
Methuselah, Abraham. Oh, no. But they just won't. Yeah. They won't say Jesus Christ. If you're otherwise, if you're in there.
Well, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph.
Yeah.
So the whole thing, it's like Candyman, right? You just can't say his name.
We also heard
going to play. Can't say his last name.
I don't know if it was an Italian thing, but also crime in Italy.
I've heard crime in Italy.
Crime in
Italy. Mike, you say crime in Italy a lot, actually.
Yeah, I do.
Crime in Italy.
That's the other one I don't want.
For Christ.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I just remember frickin' was big in my household. My dad said it a lot. And he got real mad. Frickin' car.
My kids, they don't do the N. They don't add like the frickin', but you hear frickin' frack. And it's just a little subtle thing. They'll drop a pencil on the floor. They're like, frick. I'm like, eh. You know what I mean? Like, I'm glad that you are not cussing. But also, on the other hand, dropping a pencil on the floor isn't even worth that effort. If I drop a pencil, you're like, eh. I mean, it's just like, you just bend over and pick it up. Now, the one time my son, we let it slide because it was a moment. And he used it appropriately. All right? So, he was at a pool party or something. One of these indoor deals, but. He's freezing cold. He is shaking. All right. His mom asks, do you want a towel now? Keep in mind, they've been debating the merits of him having a towel because I'm not going to be cold. You know how this goes, right? So she goes, would you like a towel now? He goes, yeah, I'm effing cold. Then he kind of realized, like, oops. But I'm just kind of saying, hey,
turn
man.
Turn your head, like, real slowly.
Well, it's just one of those, like, look, we don't even need to have the conversation that you're not going to say this again. He understood that. I said, but since you did say it, just know you use it in the proper context.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're going to say it, you know, I would rather you say that because you're actually cold than feel that it's worth an F-bomb because you dropped the pencil and said, frick.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you're shivering to death. Your lips are blue. If you cuss, like, and I told him, if you stub your toe, close a finger at the door, you can say anything you need to say. You have no judgment.
We're watching a movie one night. My daughter's about 14 years old. And there's a scene in the movie where something happens. Turn off the mics for 2 seconds, Mike.
Oh, no!
I was like, ah, yeah. Yeah,
that's what she's doing.
Your guess is as good as mine. On the way, the categories will be the 10 snobbiest states and the 10 sports that use balls. You are listening to The Men's Room.